This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jasandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. It's been a while since MSP, and you know, even before MSP kind of, you know, started, the many shows that me and Matt would do, we always talk about how Facebook should be, you know, should have like a paid model and not use our data, and we can use the services to what we want and we dictate in terms of the content that we need, instead of data mining and analytics and coming out with the Great Hack documentary, which has surprisingly Facebook, if you notice, when you, most of us are auto signed in, so you may not have spotted this, but if you go onto the homepage, you would see that they have quietly changed the slogan. It used to be, "It's free and will always be."
You know, I never even noticed
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So that was their marketing, you know, their plan, right? And their whole ploy. It's now changed to, "It's quick and easy," ditching it for the first time in more than a decade. And it's probably a reference to the fact that it cost nothing to become a user back then. But looking at the Wayback Machine, which uses the Internet Archive, it appears that they changed this somewhere around August 6th and August 7th. Business Insider did contact Facebook to ask them why the change was made, but the company is yet to respond. It marks a departure from the familiar Facebook kind of language where, you know, the company has long and vocally touted that the fact it is free to use because it's using the advertising funded business model. But their recently hired head of global affairs, Nick Clegg, who is also one of Mark Zuckerberg's top lieutenant.
Yes, and a former deputy prime minister of the UK, for which I will reserve judgment.
He appeared to be at contrast to the social network's business model with businesses like Apple, which makes money to selling tech expensive things to exclusive club. So, of course, after a whole string of high-profile scandals, like this old documentary on Netflix as well, which is the value of your personal information that is willingly surrendered to Facebook at the point of just signing up, has become more apparent than ever. And this is how data is being gathered by Facebook to sell, and then it's, you know, targeted advertising. As to why Facebook decided to alter its slogan without any warning or explanation, there is a lawyer and a digital expert, Jose Antonio Castillo. He told the Business Insider that it could possibly be spurred by a directive that the European Parliament passed in May that for the first time ever, it recognizes data as a form of payment.
Well, that's a good step, because I think this is, again, one of the things that you have to consider, that even if Facebook or any other social media company introduces a paid tier, that doesn't automatically mean that they're not going to be using your private data.
Yeah.
So I think this is it's a step in that direction. But like you said, yeah, it's probably more along the lines that people are realizing that data, that their use is a form of payment for the service. And I think it's a healthy one, because for us as consumers, that helps to give us that information that may push us towards saying, you know what, I'm actually paying too much for Facebook with my data. Mm. I would rather give you some money and retain my private data, my valuable IP for myself.
Do you think it would then, it will change the mindset of people who have with data? Because we can't see data, we don't feel it. And, you know, it's not like something that at the end of the month, I get a top up of my data, which is, you know, I get my salary and stuff. So it feels like I just have an abundance of data. So yeah, whatever, take the data, because I'm reaping all the benefits of...
Well, I think we're starting to feel the cost of that data. So, for example, those ads that stalk you around every part of the net, the fact that Apple this week, I think, let go the people who that listen in on Siri conversations. Mm. You know, people are starting to understand what the implications are of sharing this information, sharing this data. And, you know, when you hear that companies like Cambridge Analytica may have had up to, I think it was something ridiculous, like 70,000 data points on every single voter in the United States, 70,000 individual bits of information about you. So even if you think your life is quite inconsequential, the map that someone can build around your life is definitely consequential.
So shouldn't there, I guess, you know, in the future, will we see the word free disappear completely from business models that, you know, would now say, oh, we're a free app, we're a free platform, and you know, the word free would probably may not exist anymore in the future.
I think by and large we will. I mean, certainly we're seeing, certainly we see with media streaming platforms, you know, a lot of them experimented with free tiers and they've moved away from that. Most of them are subscription only because they know that the advertising model doesn't work because there isn't enough advertising to fund everything. You might still find that with some games or apps there is enough advertising to fund those for being free, but I think we're going to see people demanding more control over the information that they give to people. I mean, for example, I was testing out various social media management tools over the past couple of weeks, just looking at what's best for my business and for clients and that kind of thing. And even those services, which you pay a lot of money for, you have to be very careful what rights you grant them to control your social media accounts, especially if you are someone who has lots of clients, because you may have clients who don't want their information shared with these other companies. I remember one friend of mine who was working for doing social media posting for one company, and he made the mistake of, with a free app, granting it access to his Facebook profile without realizing that that gave it control of the pages he managed. And that app started posting to the client pages that he managed. So he was having to do, you know, a lot of putting out of fires by going around and deleting posts, which of course the clients were not happy with because a lot of them have policies of not deleting information as well. But when you've got, you know, some game featuring a large monkey that is posting on your client's page, it's not really relevant, so you have to get rid of it.
But, you know, we've always talked about how Facebook, they're listening into our conversations. So how does it feel, Matt? Like, you know, finally Facebook has listened to probably an episode of MSP.
Well, you know, I've been working hard to spread my insiders around inside all these companies. So I'm working the back channels.
All right. You know, hopefully in the near future. Anyways, when we come back, we will have King of Culture and also we'll talk about KFC, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It is time now for King of Culture.
Well, I like that connection, King of Culture and KFC. They actually go really well together. No, but this week, because, you know, it is Malaysia's Merdeka Week, so the icon, the King of Culture, is you.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're welcome. Everyone, not just specifically Jeff. You know, as we discussed in MSP, you know, it's hard to force technologies and scientific developments onto people. We have to choose to adopt them. That's why we decided that early smartphones or technologies like Bluetooth, they just weren't good enough. And that power is something that we can often lose sight of. So, you know, Malaysia changed its government. So why do we feel powerless in the face of companies like Facebook and Google and Twitter? You know, we can force them to become the companies we want them to be. Malaysians have been guiding their own future since 1957. And that's a way bigger deal and way more complex than anything we face today with social media companies. So, yeah, my King of Culture this week is every single one of you listening, and even the people who aren't listening.
Powerful, inspiring message coming from Matt Armitage. That's a really good King of Culture, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, hit and miss, that was a complete, like, you know, it was also
what
a total.
Do you mean hit and miss?
Most of the time.
You're fired.
Most of the time, it's a hit and miss. That was an absolute hit. Let me tell you something that's being an absolute hit. I've seen photos of people lining up for these. This is the KFC will soon be serving vegan fried chicken thanks to Beyond Meat's help. And they will start testing this plant-based fried chicken from Beyond Meat in a restaurant at Atlanta. They've already, I think, started it earlier this week. And I remember seeing, you know, a couple of images on Twitter about the you know, the amount of people who are lining up for KFC. I'm not sure they know that they're lining up for a plant-based fried chicken, or they're just lining up for a fried chicken because, you know, fried chicken is just really good. It is actually the first national U.S. fast food chain to introduce a Beyond Chicken item from the Yum! Brand subsidiary, beating Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. It is, I guess, you know, new times. We're now seeing KFC having plant-based fried chicken. The only worry or issue I have with this is that, you know, if you read into the story, they say that the Beyond Fried Chicken will be cooked in the same fryers as regular chickens, which,
yeah, that was something that I thought about as well. Yeah, exactly.
And they say, oh, you know, it's because we're targeting the flexitarian customers who are trying to cut down on their meat intake, and, you know, I, okay.
In other words, it costs too much to retrofit the stores to have a fryer for meat-free. But no, it is a step in the right direction. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, and I have to be careful how I phrase this next bit. I think there were various court judgments in the US over the last couple of decades that addressed the meat content of certain fast food products and decided that they couldn't necessarily be called after a particular animal due to their content. So I think it's not necessarily new that fast food joints have been selling products that aren't exactly all meat. But this is a cool thing. I mean, don't expect it to be a healthier alternative.
Yeah.
But you see so many posts again on social media from people saying, no, it's terrible that there should be plant-based burgers. People will get confused. And no, it's just an alternative. And, you know, we like the spice blend. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily want it on chicken. We like the spice blend. I'm all for this.
It's a step in the right direction. And, you know, I guess what's been going around in social media is also about the Amazon fires. I read an article about how the Amazon fires is also partly down to the amount of food intake that, you know, we're causing. And the part of the reason of this you know, forest fires that's happening in Amazon is the whole fact that, you know, there needs to be...
Yeah, it's clearing land for... I mean, not just land for cattle, but also to grow the soy that goes into the feed for the cattle. So it's actually, you know, double place. So
plant-based. Yeah.
So we'll probably still have to deforest for the plant-based, but at least it's not just to put animals.
Yeah, and there are two big companies that are doing plant-based. So there's Impossible, and then there's now also, what's this new one called? They're called Beyond Meat. So yeah.
And actually, my wife's vegetarian, and she started using one of these plant-based mince substitutes, and she absolutely loves it. It's really opened up a kind of new dimension of what she can cook at home. So,
interesting.
Yeah, you know, fantastic.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm actually keen to try. I remember when you first talked about it, and I just went, ew. Now I'm like, you know what, maybe.
No, give it a go.
All right. Now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. Smart fabrics may be changing the way clothes look, but low-cost, low-power sensors are changing what they can do. Gyroscopes in socks could help detect if elderly wearers have suffered a fall, automatically sending out an alert to carers. Clothes that can monitor body temperature, blood pressure, heart rate could have enormous medical, athletic, and fitness uses. Impact-sensing fabrics that transform from flexible to rigidly protective could revolutionize motorcycle and cycling wear. The world of climate-controlled clothing may still be a little way off, but sensors and fabrics that may make it possible are already in the mix, enabling Malaysia's digital national aspirations with TM1 Hyper-Connected Ecosystem, made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute. Matt, what do we have for GeekTunes?
Well, it is Merdeka Week, so this is a classic that I've played on Geek Tunes many times. It's a song I love, and the feedback I've had is that everybody else hates it. This is Nick Cave and Shane McGowan with a cover of the Louis Armstrong song, What a Wonderful World.
BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.